At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
You're listening to the G-Ray Records Music Network. You enjoy.
The following podcast introduces a discussion on the pervasive influence of short-form content like quick videos and dance challenges in daily life. This content, described as an explosion, impacts everything from commutes to coffee breaks, often feeling like an overwhelming amount of information is being presented too quickly. This podcast intends to examine the power of these bite-sized videos, exploring their effects on marketing and individual creators. The discussion will draw insights from G-Ray Records on the digital landscape, Dave Jalima on YouTube growth, and the Futures feed on marketing strategy to help listeners strategically navigate this new media environment. The ultimate goal is to understand the underlying mechanics of short-form content and offer a clear framework for engagement. So let's dive into this ongoing discussion and examine the amazing rise of short-form content. Enjoy the podcast.
It's true. And what's fascinating is that this isn't just, you know, a passing fad. It feels much more like a fundamental recalibration of how we consume information, and maybe more importantly, how brands actually connect with people now. We'll be digging into the core shifts driving all this and what it really means for anyone creating or even just consuming content today.
So why the explosion? What's really driving this this relentless growth? One of the biggest factors, and this probably won't surprise you, is our shrinking attention spans. Apparently, we're down to about 8 seconds now, which just wild when you think about it.
8 seconds.
Yeah, and that's exactly why these quick hits, you know, typically 15 to 90 seconds, are so compelling. They just fit perfectly with how our brains seem to be adapting to this rapid-fire consumption.
And that 8-second window, it's not just a fun fact, is it? It's like the core constraint shaping the entire design of these platforms. It forces creators to be incredibly precise. You've got to grab attention instantly, deliver value, boom, just like that. And this ties directly into what G-Ray Records calls algorithmic amplification.
Okay, tell me more about that. Algorithmic amplification. That sounds like a real game changer.
Oh, it absolutely is. Just think about TikTok's For You page.
Mm.
It totally revolutionized how we find content, didn't it? It prioritizes relevance over how many followers someone has. The platform's AI basically acts like this super smart curator, actively pushing your content to new people it thinks will like it, even if you have like zero followers to start.
Wow.
It's essentially democratizing reach. It's like a digital megaphone for anyone who can make something engaging.
So it's not just who you know anymore, it's what the algorithm thinks you'll like. I can definitely see how that levels the playing field for new creators. That's huge. And, you know, these quick clips just fit so seamlessly into our lives, don't they? That endless scrolling thing during a commute or a coffee break,
mm-hmm.
It's almost automatic. I heard a stat that really stopped me. U.S. TikTok users spend, on average, 45.8 hours per month watching short-form videos.
45.8 hours.
Yeah. That's almost 2 full days a month.
It really speaks volumes about how pervasive this stuff is. And another really compelling aspect is the emotional engagement. Our sources point out that user-generated content, you know, UGC, it scores a massive 22% higher in emotional engagement compared to videos that brands produce themselves.
22%, that's huge. Why do you think that is?
Well, because it feels real, it feels unfiltered, doesn't it? That kind of raw authenticity builds a deeper, more immediate connection than, you know, any polished ad ever could. When content feels like it's coming from someone just like you, it taps into this like primal sense of trust. And on top of that, the Futurist feed also highlights the cost effectiveness. The barriers to production are just so much lower now. It means faster iteration, more experimentation for everyone. You don't need a massive budget or a fancy studio anymore.
Right. So if you combine the speed, the reach, the authenticity, and the lower cost,
mm-hmm.
It really does sound like a perfect storm for creators and marketers.
Exactly. And taking that broader view, these factors aren't just creating a temporary trend. They're fundamentally reshaping marketing itself. It's shifting from that old broadcast model to something much more targeted, much more responsive, which, you know, leads us to ask, how does this dramatic shift actually translate into tangible benefits? What are the strategic opportunities for brands and creators?
And the tangible benefits seem pretty immense. I mean, short-form video now boasts the highest ROI across all content formats. That's according to G-Ray Records.
Highest ROI.
Yeah, yeah. And consumers are clearly on board too. 73% prefer short videos when they're trying to learn about new products or services.
And marketers are seeing direct results too, right? Something like 87% report increases in sales directly linked to short-form video. That's a pretty powerful endorsement for making this part of your strategy.
Absolutely. And the shareability factor is just, it's unmatched. Viral trends, challenges, they boost organic reach like nothing else. They can turn everyday users into these sort of unexpected brand ambassadors. And this leads to some really fascinating strategic implications, like brands can now react super quickly to cultural moments, to memes, news cycles. I remember Gymshark using TikTok challenges so effectively. Or Chipotle turning that simple TikTok trend into a massive viral campaign. It was brilliant.
Yeah, those are great examples.
It's really about building community, isn't it? Fostering that loyalty, that participation through, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff, interactive challenges, collaborating with influencers.
Indeed. And what's really critical here is how these strategic demands force a completely different approach to actually making content. It becomes less about striving for absolute perfection and much more about prioritizing relevance, speed, and that genuine connection. And importantly, it also means adapting to the specific needs of each platform, which brings us to a really crucial question. With so many platforms competing for attention, how do creators and brands actually navigate this increasingly diverse short-form landscape effectively? How do you achieve your specific goals?
That really is the million-dollar question for your strategy, isn't it? Because it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all kind of world. G-Ray Records gives us a great overview of the key players we should be thinking about for, say, 2025. Each one has unique strengths, different audiences, different features. Let's maybe break them down a bit.
Okay.
So for cure virality and reaching Gen Z, you're primarily looking at TikTok and Snapchat Spotlight. TikTok, with its 15-second to 3-minute clips, it's just the king of viral trends, right? Driven by that super powerful For You algorithm we talked about. Snapchat Spotlight, shorter clips, 5 to 60 seconds, is heavily Gen Z, especially in the US. And it thrives on those AR filters and that kind of ephemeral, playful vibe.
Right, the younger demographic hubs.
Exactly. Then you've got platforms that really excel for lifestyle content, aesthetics, inspiration. That's more Instagram Reels and Pinterest Idea Pins. Instagram Reels 15 to 90 seconds is fantastic for fashion, beauty, brands. It integrates seamlessly into the whole Instagram ecosystem. It really leans into trending audio. Pinterest Idea Pins are interesting. They're multi-slide short videos, perfect for DIY, home, wellness. They're more about discovery and seem to have a longer shelf life, more evergreen visibility.
Mm-hmm. Discovery is key there.
And then for reaching broader demographics, maybe building a more established presence, you should consider YouTube Shorts and Facebook Reels. YouTube Shorts, up to 60 seconds, pulls in a really broad age range, including educators apparently, and it has robust monetization tools within that bigger YouTube world. Facebook Reels, also 15 to 60 seconds, tends to reach slightly older demographics, has massive global reach, good cross-posting features, and is seen as very ad-friendly.
So different strengths depending on who you want to reach.
Totally. And finally, for that really fast-paced news and commentary, X, you know, formerly Twitter, video that's typically under 2 minutes, 20 seconds, is still the place for real-time engagement in those quick viral clips.
And a really key aspect to layer on top of this is the audience breakdown you touched on. Like you said, Gen Z really dominates TikTok and Snapchat for that trend-based stuff. But millennials are super strong across Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest for lifestyle, wellness, education. And, this is important, Gen X and boomers are increasingly active on Facebook Reels and YouTube Shorts, especially for things like family, travel, finance content.
Really useful breakdown.
Yeah, and it leads us to ask, how can you really tailor your tone, your visuals, to genuinely resonate with your specific target audience? Especially when you factor in gender target, you mentioned Pinterest and TikTok skewing female, while X leans more male, understanding those nuances feels absolutely paramount for success.
It's definitely a lot to juggle. But okay, let's shift gears slightly to a very specific dilemma, one that lots of creators are facing, particularly on YouTube. If you're building a channel there, you've probably felt this pressure. Should I go all in on shorts, or should I stick with traditional long-form videos? It feels like half the experts say one thing, the other half say the complete opposite. It can feel impossible.
Right, that debate is everywhere.
And a lot of creators, maybe understandably, are approaching this thinking they can just, you know, trim down their long-form content into shorts. But that seems to be a crucial mistake, based on what Dave Gel-Tama suggests. He offers this great analogy. YouTube is like a restaurant that offers both takeout and dine-in. The core cuisine, the basic topic, stays the same, but the presentation, the delivery, it has to be fundamentally adapted. Shorts viewers and long-form viewers just have totally different expectations and habits.
That's a perfect analogy. And to build on that, it's absolutely critical to understand that YouTube's algorithm isn't comparing your shorts to your long-form videos. That's not how it works. It's comparing your shorts to other shorts and your long-form videos to other long-form videos. They're judged in separate arenas. So trying to master both at the exact same time with the same mindset, it's like trying to build a car while also learning to fly a plane. They share some principles, sure, but they require fundamentally different skill sets and strategic approaches.
Like building a car and flying a plane.
Yeah, that's a really vivid way to put it. Okay, so let's guide you through the specific pros and cons of each format, really digging into Gel-Tama's insights here. Starting with shorts, the appeal is, well, it's undeniably strong. First off, they're quick and easy to produce. You can literally shoot and edit on your phone, often in under an hour. That makes them incredibly accessible. They offer this huge potential for viral reach, bringing really rapid exposure to potentially massive new audiences. We've seen small creators hit like 500,000 views in just a few days. It happens.
Incredible reach, potentially. Yeah. And for beginners, they're just perfect for developing skills. You can practice storytelling, editing, camera presence without the pressure of a huge, long production. Plus, they boast higher completion rates. You know, with content under 60 seconds, viewers typically watch 60 to 80% of the video. That's compared to maybe 30 to 50% for a typical long-form video.
That's a big difference in engagement percentage. And they also function as excellent little content samples, don't they? Giving viewers a quick taste of your style. Plus, that vertical format has great cross-platform potential for TikTok, Reels, etc.
Yeah.
However, shorts do have some pretty significant limitations.
Right, definitely. First, they offer limited depth for complex topics. You just don't have the time. And here's a really big one. significantly lower monetization. This is crucial. Many creators report that, say, 100,000 views on a short might earn you around $5, maybe. Whereas a long-form video with the same number of views could potentially generate $500 or even more.
$5 versus $500, that's stark.
It's a massive difference. There's also the algorithm volatility. Your visibility can just poof, disappear with one algorithm change. It's less stable. Plus, shorts generally have a very short content lifespan. They often stop performing well after just 48 to 72 hours. Compare that to years for well-made long-form content. And finally, their limited call-to-action options make it pretty challenging to build those deeper relationships or drive specific actions directly from a short.
So, okay, on one hand, shorts are fantastic for rapid discovery, low barrier to entry, quick engagement hits. But this stark contrast, especially in monetization and longevity, naturally brings us back to long-form content.
Exactly, the format that really built YouTube as we know it. And it still has equally compelling strengths. Number one, much, much higher monetization potential. Often, like we said, 50 to 100 times what shorts earn per view, with multiple ad placements possible in a single video. They foster a deeper audience connection. Viewers spend more time with you, they get to know you, building trust and genuine loyalty in a way shorts just can't. Long form is also essential for authority building. It lets you establish yourself as an expert in your niche. And this tends to attract higher quality, more invested subscribers over time, people who are really there for your specific value.
And perhaps its biggest advantage is its evergreen potential. We're talking about content that stays relevant and valuable long, long after it's published. Think about like a classic tutorial or an in-depth guide on a topic that doesn't change much. It can continuously attract new viewers through search for years. It effectively becomes, as Joel Temba puts it, an appreciating asset that works while you sleep.
An appreciating asset. Yeah. I like that. That's a really powerful concept. But of course, long form definitely has its own set of challenges. We have to be realistic. It requires higher production time and costs, significantly so. Joel Temba estimates maybe 12 hours for a typical long form video research, filming, editing, versus maybe 2 hours total for a short.
12 versus two, that's a big commitment difference.
It is. And initial growth can also feel slower. Joel Temba likens it to eating healthy and going to the gym. The results aren't immediate, right? But they compound over time if you stick with it. And naturally, there are higher audience expectations for polished production, solid structure, and real, valuable content when someone commits to watching a longer video.
Right. So this whole comparison forces us to ask a different question, doesn't it? What truly matters isn't just the raw view count or the subscriber number on its own, it's the leverage you get from the time you invest. So many creators obsess over those surface level metrics, but the real question should be, what return are you actually getting on your creative investment? Your time, your energy.
Leverage.
Yeah, consider that time breakdown again. Maybe one long form video takes 12 hours total, and one short takes about 2 hours. So purely on time, you could make 6 shorts in the time it takes to create one long form video.
Okay, yeah, when you put it like that, it sounds like a clear win for shorts initially, 6 to 1.
It does.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's only looking at half the equation, the input side. Now look at the output side, the lifespan. The average long-form video, if it's decent quality and finds its audience, continues generating substantial views for maybe 18 months or more. It often becomes a consistent, albeit maybe small, revenue stream, that appreciating asset. Meanwhile, the average short, as we said, essentially dies after 48 to 72 hours. It gets a huge initial spike, then mostly flatlines, with only minimal views trickling in after that first burst.
Okay, wow. So the short gives you a quick sprint. The long form is more like a marathon that keeps paying out.
Exactly. Taking that broader view, publishing just one quality long form video per week consistently builds a library of content that becomes that appreciating asset working for you while you sleep for months or even years. If you only focus on shorts, you're constantly starting from zero. You're trapped on that content treadmill, always needing the next hit just to stay visible. Joel Temba and others report that the first 3 months focusing on long form can feel painfully slow, like pushing a boulder uphill. But then, often around that 3 month mark, the compounding effect starts to kick in. Viewers find one video, then another. The algorithm starts recommending you more. The critical lesson here seems to be, don't quit right before that potential breakthrough.
That completely changes the math, doesn't it? It's not just about the initial splash, it's about the long tail. So, okay, what does all this mean for your unique situation, for you listening? It really seems to come down to asking yourself a few key questions. What is your ultimate goal here? Is it maximum impact? Is it primarily making money? Is it building a community of really high quality, engaged subscribers? What kind of content format genuinely fits your niche best? Are you explaining complex things or capturing quick moments? What are your personal strengths? Are you a great editor, a charismatic speaker, a quick thinker? And maybe most practically, what actually fits your schedule and your resources? Because let's be honest, the best strategy is the one you can actually execute consistently over time.
Consistency is key.
Definitely. So based on the research, based on successful creator case studies like those Jeltema analyzes, here's a sort of recommended growth timeline. A way to think about building a sustainable content ecosystem. Stage one is the foundation. For the first few months, maybe focus 100% on consistent, high-quality, long-form content. Let's say one video per week. Use this time to really master your style, find your voice, hone your production skills, and most importantly, build that initial library of valuable evergreen content. This is your core asset building phase.
Get that base solid first.
Exactly. Stage two is expansion. Once you have that solid long-form rhythm established, you're comfortable, you're consistent, then you can start experimenting with repurposing your best long-form content into shorts. And this is where tools like Nexif Clips, which Jeltema mentions, can become incredibly valuable. They use AI to automatically find the most engaging moments in your longer videos. They'll reformat them to vertical, add dynamic subtitles, do intelligent framing, essentially turning, say, a 10-minute video into maybe 5 polished, engaging shorts in just minutes, not hours.
So it leverages the work you've already done.
Precisely. Start small, maybe one short per week derived from your long form. Only increase that as your bandwidth genuinely allows. The key is avoiding filler shorts. Low effort stuff, just for the sake of posting, which can actually harm your channel's perception.
Quality over quantity, even with shorts.
Right. And then stage three is optimization. Mm-hmm. Keep long form as your primary focus, your bedrock. But now develop a more sophisticated, intentional short strategy. Maybe target specific trends or use shorts specifically to tease longer content. This might also be the stage where you explore team expansion, maybe bringing someone in to help specifically with short form production so you don't sacrifice the quality of your main content.
Scaling thoughtfully.
Yeah. The ultimate goal here isn't really about picking a side in this endless shorts versus long form debate. It kind of misses the point. It's about building a complementary ecosystem, one where shorts enhance your long-form content, maybe drive curious new viewers to your deeper videos, and help maintain a consistent brand identity across both formats. It all comes back to, what are you trying to achieve? And how does each format best serve that overarching goal in a way you can actually sustain?
That's a great way to frame it. So, to kind of summarize short-form content, it really is the future of digital engagement in many ways. It's practically woven to the fabric of our culture now. Speed, authenticity, platform fluency, those are pretty much non-negotiables now if you want broad reach and want to tap into those viral moments. But for sustainable growth, for building lasting value and deeper connections, especially on platforms like YouTube, the foundational power of high-quality long-form content seems to remain absolutely paramount. It's about creating that library of appreciating assets that genuinely work for you over the long term.
The bayou hums, a silver thread where the river runs. I walk alone, but the night is kind. The stars are winking like they read my midnight breeze. whispering secrets through ancient trees. A rhythm rises from the earth below. A gospel groove with a deep house flow.